As we prepare to open up God's Word together here to the book of Acts, any elementary kids are welcome to gather out in the foyer at this time for the beginning of a children's worship time. It's going to be led by the Harrells today, Chuck and April Harrell. And so elementary kids, you're welcome to participate that if you'd like. But for all of us who remain right here, let me invite you to open up the Bible with me, God's Word. If God is so great, we want to hear from Him. We want to look at His Word. We want to be led by Him, and we're opening up to the book of Acts today. We'll be in Acts chapter 6 once again, and then briefly look into Acts chapter 14. But a little context for maybe those that are visiting with us, or maybe even for those that are part of us. It's been a journey for us over the last year and a half or so, where we as a church have been exploring a possible leadership structure adjustment and exploring a plurality of elders model in a Baptist church, consistent with Baptist polity and Baptist theology and Baptist convictions. And so today's message and next week as well speaks into that particular leadership position and structure of a church. And so if you're a visitor with us today, just know that. Know that this morning might feel a little bit different. In fact, even the way that I've approached our sermons, a little bit different than our standard practice, which is to do more of a deep dive into a particular text in God's Word, an expository sermon style, if you're familiar with that. But today I'm certainly going to look at a couple texts, but seek to step back from them a little bit and to draw some conclusions based on consistent patterns of God's Word. But we want to hear from the Lord. And so let's hear from His Word this morning. As you find your way there to Acts chapter 6, we invite all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It says, "In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'Would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables? Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word.' This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." And one more text, a few pages to the right in Acts chapter 14. This is on the tail end of Paul's first missionary journey, and Paul and Barnabas have been sent out from the church in Antioch, and they've traveled throughout the Mediterranean world, preaching the gospel and planting churches, and now they're returning back and visiting these places that they've preached along the way. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 says, "They preached the gospel in that city," meaning Derbe, "and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. 'We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God,' they said." Verse 23, "Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust." Would you pause with me as we pray? Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, Lord, that you would guide us, that you would instruct us, that you would teach us, and Lord, that we would hear from you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Well, specifically of this first text, Acts chapter 6, we've read it a number of times here in our church. We looked at it last week, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and heard what it shared specifically about unity, about church unity, and the role, the gift of deacons in the local church for that very purpose. God gives deacons to serve the church by meeting needs and fostering unity. That was our key point last week, and we kicked off our deacon nominations. And so just a reminder, church members, church family, prayerfully participate in deacon nominations. You can find nomination forms out in the foyer. You can find them weekly in our church newsletter. But let's prayerfully participate in setting aside men in the church to meet needs and foster unity in that particular way. This morning, I want us to consider another leadership group, and that's first the apostles here, also known as the 12, whose particular ministry responsibilities pave the way for pastors or for elders in local churches. Now, the apostles were unique. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. They were commissioned by Jesus himself to preach the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ, and to plant churches wherever they went, and to write God's word, to write scripture. They represented Jesus. They were given a level of authority in the early church that extended beyond one church like this to every church. And so in that technical sense, there are no apostles today. However, the New Testament speaks clearly to a more permanent leadership office in the church that assumes a similar responsibility, particularly the responsibility of preaching and prayer and leading the church. And that office is the office of pastor or of elder. God gives elders to lead and shepherd the church. It's the key point I want us to hear this morning, to consider today. God gives elders to the church, to a local church, to lead and to shepherd the church. An elder, as we've said before, is a pastor, and a pastor is an elder, also called in the New Testament an overseer. These words are used interchangeably. In our tradition, we're much more accustomed to the word pastor, which is a good word. I didn't mean shepherd. But the word elder is the more common word in the New Testament to denote the highest leadership office in the church. God gives elders to lead and shepherd the church. Now, I'm intentionally using elders in the plural and church in the singular because that's the way that it's most often presented in the New Testament. That's the way that it's all most often found in the Bible. God gives multiple elders to shepherd a single church. God gives multiple elders to shepherd a single church. You see, for a time, the 12 or the apostles would lead the Jerusalem church. And in time, they were commissioned by Christ to go and to make disciples of all nations and to establish churches. And so as disciples are made and churches are planted, pastors soon feel this responsibility of leading local churches, carrying on this ministry of leading, of preaching, and of prayer that's laid on the foundation of the apostles. In other words, those particular emphases of the 12 anticipated the ministry of pastors, elders, overseers, and the standard New Testament pattern is more than one of them in each local church. I share a summary of this by Benjamin Merkel, somebody who's done quite a bit of research on this, a Baptist. He says, the early churches were not governed by one person, but were led by a group of leaders. He says, for example, every time the term for elder is used in the New Testament, it occurs in the plural form, elders, except when it is used generically of an elder should be this way, or when it's speaking about a specific elder, such as Peter or John. This is a few samplings of this from God's Word. Titus chapter 1, Paul writes to Titus, he says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders, plural, in every town as I directed you. Or in Acts chapter 14, the text we read moments ago, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders, plural, for them in each church, singular. Or chapter 20 of Acts, verse 17, now Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders, plural, of the church, singular. Or 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, the elders, plural, who direct the affairs of the church well, are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And so that's the pattern. That's the pattern that we see in the New Testament again and again. Multiple elders leading a single church. Might there have been exceptions to this? I imagine there were. Of course, until Men were discipled and raised up, leaders raised up. But the New Testament evidence suggests that multiple pastors or elders shepherding a single church was the norm. The norm. A norm that even some time ago was more common in our own tradition, our own Southern Baptist denomination. It's a trend that's on the rise. It's growing. We'll talk a little bit about that in our tradition. But going all the way back to middle of the 1800s, the first president of the Southern Baptist Convention, W.B. Johnson, said this. He said, a plurality in the bishopric, and bishop is the word for overseer, it's one of the words for pastor elder, a plurality is of great importance. Why? For mutual counsel and aid. For mutual counsel and aid, that the government and edification of the flock may be promoted in the best manner. Or somebody a bit more current, Al Mohler, who's the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, says the recovery of biblical eldership is one of the most important developments in ecclesiology in our time. And it is happening for a very important reason. Churches are turning to the New Testament once again to determine how congregations are to be organized and led. One more quote, and then enough quotes. J.D. Greer, immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, pastor of the Summit Church, says this. He says, our transition to a team of spirit-filled, gospel-driven elders has been one of the best moves we have made in becoming a reproducing church. So a pattern that's growing in our own tradition, our own denomination, a pattern that's growing among Southern Baptists and one church. You know, if you've been here, if you're part of this local church, you know that I'm a proponent of us pursuing. Why? First, I would say because it's the biblical pattern. Multiple elders to shepherd a single church. But what do they do? What's the calling of an elder? And so we'll turn our attention to that for the remainder of our time. Well, first, God calls elders to lead and shepherd by preaching and teaching God's word. God calls elders to lead and to shepherd local churches by preaching and teaching God's word. We know this to be true. I don't think any of us would debate that, so I'm not going to camp out here long because we're used to our pastors preaching, right? In our church, preaching the word bears great weight and emphasis in our gatherings. And praise God for that. The primary way that elders shepherd God's people is by preaching God's word. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. In other words, Paul says preaching and teaching faithfully and convincingly is work. It's labor. He says the elders are to give themselves to this. Pastors, elders, overseers, give themselves to this, implying that there are some, he implies here, that there are some like myself who can do this with greater devotion because you, church, compensate me to do so. Full time. Praise God for that. What an honor. What a privilege. Thank you for making preaching and teaching of God's word a priority in the church. But all elders, not just a pastor, a senior pastor, are called to know and teach the word. Paul says to Titus in Titus 1:9, he says, an overseer must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, meaning the gospel, the word, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Paul also tells Timothy, an elder is one who must be able to teach. That's the one gift that stands out. A multitude of character traits. Elders are called to preach and to teach, and I would say to be responsible for those who preach and teach in the church. In other words, there's an implicit responsibility for the church's leaders to be aware of who's teaching and what they're teaching. That's the calling of elders. God also calls elders to lead and shepherd by caring for the body. By caring for the body, caring for the church. It's pastoral care, tending to the needs of the flock. Having the growth and discipleship of members, particular members of the congregation in mind, caring for each other in the body of Christ. Peter says it this way. Peter would say to the elders, he would say, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Under your care. watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, just as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. James writes in James chapter 5, he says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, a ministry of prayer and care in the body of Christ. So God calls elders to lead and shepherd the church by preaching and teaching God's word. God calls elders to lead and shepherd the church by caring for the body and overseeing the overall well-being of the church. God calls elders to lead and shepherd as overseers of the congregation. God calls elders to lead and shepherd as overseers of the congregation. I know that's the last fill in the blank on your outline, but I'm not done. I want to camp out here for just a little bit. To be honest with you, for me, this is why I'm fired up about the possibility of an elder model here at Meadowbrook. You might say, what do you mean, overseers? Well, Paul begins his letter to the Philippians this way. He says, he addresses the believers together with the overseers and the deacons. He addresses the whole church, as well as the overseers, pastors, elders, and the deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3 likens elder ministry to taking care of God's church in the way that you would take care of your family. Titus chapter 1 verse 7 says an overseer is one who manages God's household, who manages God's household. In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, we already saw this text, but Paul says the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. In other words, one of the key components of pastoral ministry, according to the scriptures, or elder ministry, is leading, is managing, is directing the body of Christ under the lordship of Christ with an accountability to the congregation. Christ ruled, it's His church, elder led, and congregationally governed. I saw a couple interesting bumper stickers the other day. I was driving around and I saw an SUV and there was a bumper sticker there on the window. It said, Blessed Mama. Blessed Mama. And I saw that car and I was driving down 280 and I passed that SUV that said Blessed Mama and I just thought to myself, here's somebody that's got it together. Here's somebody that's at peace. It loves and cherishes their role. Here's somebody that's just got it together. And then not too long after that, I saw another bumper sticker in the area. And it was on a big van, like not a minivan, like a big van, a really big van. And on the back it said, maybe you've seen it, maybe it's one of yours, I'm not sure. It said, honk if a kid falls out. I'm serious. You've probably seen it. Now, I'm no mama. I think you know that. I'm no mama. But I think I understand how both of those mamas feel, at least in part. Right? As a parent, I've got kids. Any of you got kids, you've raised kids, you know what it's like. You know the chaos of trying to care for other people. Make sure that their needs are met. Lead them well. Yes, as a parent, but also to a certain degree as a pastor. Like charged with caring for precious persons God has entrusted to me. Without a shadow of a doubt, I feel, church, like a blessed man so much, so often, for getting to do what I get to do. For getting to devote my life to shepherding the church and proclaiming God's word. Like, what a privilege, what an honor, what a humbling honor. I think about one of our church members I visited just a couple weeks ago who's dealing with a lot. A whole lot. A woman who's seen things in her life that no one should have to see. No one should have to walk through, and visiting with her and feeling the weight of that. Wrestling with how to pray to God on her behalf. What to pray and how to pray. And so I did the best that I could. I prayed to God. I cried out to God. And in the moment, I'm not a particularly emotional guy, I don't think, but in the moment I just pray. Tears are falling. I wrestle through that and what to say. And as soon as I finish, she turns, let me pray for you. She prays for me. Church, I'm a blessed man to know that people like her and people like many of you pray for me. What a gift to lead the church, to shepherd the beautiful bride of Jesus Christ called Meadowbrook Baptist Church. I can't imagine doing anything else. But you know, sometimes I feel like there may be an unposted sign in the church that says, honk if something's wrong. Honk if somebody falls out. Like, honk if things are falling apart. And many of us hear those honks. You hear some of those honks, responding to them the best we know how, given our particular proclivities and giftedness and responsibilities and experience in the church. But church, if I'm being completely honest with you, sometimes the sound of those honks keep me up at night. Restless. Anxious. Bruised. And burdened for the well-being of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has entrusted to me. That's part of being a pastor. I'm not sure that any other person other than another pastor can totally understand. It's not a good career choice for workaholics. This is not a good role for someone particularly prone to feel guilty for not doing enough. And I'm not asking for a pity party. Far from it. This is what God has called me to do. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. There's joy unspeakable in doing what I get to do. I cannot imagine doing anything else with my life, but what I'm asking for is help. The right kind of help. Help at the most senior level to share responsibility for leading this ship and shepherding this flock. You might be thinking, what about our ministerial staff? Aren't they the help that you need? And on one hand, I would say, yes, you're absolutely right. What a treasure, what a gift to serve alongside men and women called by God to vocational ministry, equipped by the Holy Spirit to serve for the good and the growth of the body. Without David and John and Austin and David and Kelly and Lori and the rest of our staff, we'd be up a creek. As you know, these brothers and sisters lead and shepherd and teach within various spheres of the church in marvelous ways that magnify Jesus Christ and spread His gospel. And what a joy to serve, to lead with them. But I'm asking for shared help, aka elders, separate from direct reports and subdivided responsibilities at a senior level for the sake of the health of the body of believers known as Meadowbrook Baptist Church. This is the primary deficiency, I think, in our current model. No one else is being asked, at least in totality, to lead in a way that shepherds, that shares the burden of shepherding the whole church. With attention to church vision, with attention to overall church health, with attention to healthy percentage categories of a $2 million budget, with consideration for the future of this congregation in a way that brings vision clarity, with attention to ministry direction and leadership structure and membership expectations, and the list could go on. I mean, think about the benefits of having multiple spiritually mature men raised up from within our church, coming alongside the pastor and leading for the well-being of the body. Think about the collective wisdom. Think about the varied perspectives. Think about the member care from entrance to discipline issues to restoration. Think about the added stability during seasons of transition. Think about the accountability for the person in my shoes. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, the author writes, he says, writing to the church, he says, have confidence in your leaders. Speaking of church leaders. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. See, according to the scriptures, there's a level of leadership authority that God has established in the office of pastor, elder, overseer that's good for the church. It's a leadership piece of pastoring. And it's dangerous for any one man to do that alone. We know this. But we don't have to look far and wide to see examples of spiritual leaders publicly failing for various reasons. It's one of our own tradition this past week. National news headline for dishonest reports about his own education experience. It's all over the place. And because we know this, we've put things in place to help guard against this. We've put things in place like a pastor review committee. That's our current model here at Meadowbrook. May or may not be familiar with that. That's who I report to. Rotating group of lay leaders. Or in many congregations, a deacon board to keep the pastor in check. But better and more biblical than either of those is a small group of fellow elders with equal authority working alongside the pastor, expected and invited to hold me accountable for faithfully fulfilling the responsibilities that God has entrusted to me. There's a lot more that we can say about this. I trust we'll do so at other times, but these are some of the reasons why I'm convinced that adopting an elder model of leadership here would honor Christ and benefit the church. Friends, according to the Bible, God gives elders to lead and shepherd the church. Multiple elders in a single church, preaching and teaching God's word, caring for the body, and serving as overseers of the congregation. Why? Why? Let me leave you with this. Well, ultimately, to point us to the chief shepherd. To point us to the true senior pastor. To point us to the shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. The overseer of our souls who purchased us with his own blood. That we, church, might know, follow, and enjoy him forever. Would you bow with me? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. And thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Amen.